You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to this Friday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers. As always, I am one of the hosts of the show, Tony East, covering the Pacers for Forbes, the Fieldhouse, and the West Indianapolis Community News. Big day today. Today is game day against the Cavs, who had no problem with the Pacers last week. They got the Bulls this weekend, and we won't do any shows between now and then, so we'll talk some Bulls. But the big thing, a lot of injury news to get to today between Miles Turner and Edmund Sumner, so we will talk about all three of those. And of course, this episode, like yesterday, sponsored by the lovely folks at MyBookie. You can go check them out. We'll talk about them later. But I think the place to start is, of course, the injuries. Terrible news, I mean, on both fronts. Not, like, terrible, but just unfortunate, I guess. So Miles Turner against the Nets, as Adam talked about a little bit yesterday, suffered a sprained ankle after colliding with Garrett Temple on a screen. Was taken out of the game. Today, the team announced that it is a sprained right ankle, and he's listed as week-to-week. I don't actually know for sure what, like, day-to-day and week-to-week means. I think that just means how often they get evaluated. So Turner will be evaluated, I think, in a week. But Scott Agnes of The Athletic reporting that Turner will miss at least 2 weeks was his wording, which is unfortunately a long time. I mean, 2 weeks is takes us to like mid-November. In the next, specifically 2 weeks from today, Friday, they play 6, 7, 8 games, it looks like. Maybe 9 is the 16th that Friday. So he could... Yeah, the 16th is that Saturday. So he could miss 9, maybe even 10 games. They have a huge gap from the 16th to the 23rd. They only play one game in between there. So you can expect him back probably right about either the 23rd against Orlando or the 18th against, or ironically, Brooklyn again. Well, that's a lengthy injury for the defensive stalwart. It's a shame. The team looks good with Sabonis and some small guys, though. We'll talk about some lineup things they can do to correct it. And I would have said... the guy who will step into the starting lineup. So with just the Miles injury alone, I would have said the new starting lineup would probably be Brogdon, Lamb, Sumner, Warren, and Sabonis. But then Sumner, who – so Scott Agnes again here. He's killing it with this injury coverage. He just kills with all the coverage. Before the Nets game says, you know, Edmund Sumner's hurt his hand. It hurts when he dribbles. He'll be out for this game. Today the Pacers come in and say Sumner has a non-displaced fracture of the right third – metacarpal. I had to make sure I said that right. That's on his right hand. It says no surgery is required and he'll be re-examined in 3 weeks. Jay Michael, Pacers guy for the Indy Star, covered the Wizards when John Wall had a similar injury, said no surgery for Wall either there, and he came back in about 3 weeks. So Sumner, 3 weeks from now. That's about 21 days. So hey, look at that. Because of that big gap between the 2 weeks from now game and the 3 weeks from now game with only one game in between, probably about the same about that Magic game on the 23rd. So, you know, because 2 weeks from now, you, the listener, is November 15th. They play the Rockets in Houston that day. Then they have a back-to-back at home the next day against the Bucks. So I highly doubt that, you know, they'd have guys return for either night of a back-to-back. And then after that game on the 16th, they play in Brooklyn on the 18th, and then not again until the 23rd, 5 days off. So... in that week span between Milwaukee and Orlando, they only play once. So either, you know, I'd imagine these guys return for that Brooklyn game or 5 days later against the Magic. Anywho, because Sumner is also out for a while, he cannot be the starter, the new starter in this instance. So I'm not really sure what it's going to look like. And the Nets game didn't really give us an answer. So the second half of the Nets game, Turner was already out. He got hurt in the first quarter. So the starting group for that third quarter of that game was Brogdon, Lamb, Justin Holiday at the three, TJ Warren, and Sabonis. And they did well. I think they outscored the Nets by 7 points in however many minutes. But they were against DeAndre Jordan. Caveat is important. They were against DeAndre Jordan, who is not very good. And then to close the game, so I usually argue closing the game is more important than starting the game. They had the group of Brogdon, Lamb, Warren, McDermott, Sabonis. And that group got outscored by, I can't remember how many points, like 6 or 8 in about 6 minutes. However, Jared Allen was in the game, and the Nets had their closing lineup in trying to catch up too. So I think that the Holiday group looks better with their stats on paper, and maybe they are better. I don't actually know, but they played against a worse Nets group. I only say that caveat because it would contradict what I'm about to say, and that is that if it was up to me, I think McDermott should be the guy who starts. I think his shooting goes well with the skill sets of the other guys. You know, Brogdon has shown this year that he can attack the rim and set up guys better than anyone thought, including myself. And Lamb just went off in this Nets game and showed that, you know, he's okay when he gets space. And Warren finally had a good game when he was playing the four instead of the three. And we all know that Sabonis is amazing anyway. So why not just maximize the spacing for the other three guys and have a shooting threat out there? He's definitely more of a liability on defense. And I think Justin Holiday, you know, he can score a little more credibly for himself, and I think the bench needs that quite a bit. And I think Holiday being the first sub for Jeremy Lamb, that way you can have Lamb or Holiday with the bench at most times makes a lot of sense. Although I understand if Justin Holiday gets the job, he's probably played better this year than McDermott in the aggregate. I just think McDermott's a better fit with the starting group. So we'll see who Nate McMillan chooses for this Cavs game tomorrow. I wonder if he'll go by matchup, you know. But the thing is that the first two games are Kevin Love and you know, the Larry Markin and like stretchy bigs, which so maybe you go the defensive guy and go Holiday there, and then you know, they have the Hornets next Tuesday, who have, I guess, PJ Washington's kind of stretchy, but he's a rookie. Maybe you change it up then. Anywho, yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see how they plug that starting lineup, and then they have to plug Sumner's spot too. Now I think that one's a little easier, and by easier I mean more straightforward in that, you know, we saw in the Nets game they just had McConnell and Aaron Holiday be the new reserve guards, and then Justin was on the wing and McDermott was on the wing, and you know, they weren't planning on using Goga, but they did when Turner got hurt, so Goga will be the fifth guy there, and that's easy. You got your 10. Although with Leaf out of the rotation, you know, maybe for some instances, you know, because I said McDermott and Holiday there, one of them's going to start, and maybe you get a little Leaf in there, but Leaf didn't play at all against the Nets, even with the injuries. So maybe you'll see some Jakar Sampson if Leaf has been exiled from the rotation. Maybe you'll see some Alize Johnson. I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, Alize, where's Alize? Put Alize in instead of Leaf. Yeah, Leaf's been bad, and maybe Alize is just as good as him, but I think you all are forgetting about Jakar, who was better than both in the preseason and is probably the best of the bunch. If you're airing for development with Alize, totally understood. But I think Jakar might deserve that shake first. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting decision to see who starts now that both of these guys are out. I don't think the bench part for Sumner is that hard to figure out. Aaron will finally play and get a chance to prove that he is better than McConnell, because still don't understand why McConnell's playing over him. I mean, some people think that McConnell's better because of his, you know, his hustle and he can kind of break down a D, but I just think Aaron makes guys panic a little bit more with his drives. Because I don't know, he's just more aggressive in his nature, I guess. Like, TJ McConnell just kind of dribbles, whereas Holiday, like, gets somewhere. And I'd rather have the youth develop here. So, yeah, that's it's going to be interesting to see how they shake out. The injuries are a huge bummer, but the schedule really could not have come at a better time. I mean, the Rockets and Bucks I talked about are at the very end of this 2-3 period, but the next seven games, Cavs, who apparently are okay, they're 2-2, Bulls, not very good. Hornets, not very good. Wizards, not very good. Pistons apparently own the Pacers this year. But both of them have been close in the fourth quarter, so competitive game. Magic, who have not played well this year at all. Thunder, not very good. They're okay. And then Rockets, Bucks. So it gets a little harder at the end, you know, with Magic, Thunder, Pistons, and all that. But it's not a murder's row of opponents. It's not something that, you know, ugh, this is so terrible. This is the worst timing ever. And Sabonis and the small guys might work really well. And then we'll have another discussion at the end of this. But yeah, some injury news. That's a bummer, but you got to go through it. Thankfully, two not as super tough games coming up for them to try to figure this all out. The first one is against the Cavs. So let's talk some Cavs and figure out how the Pacers can do better than they did in Cleveland last Friday. So that 110-99 game was the worst. I mean, I know that's like dumb, quote unquote, to say, I guess. Like, they just, me calling a game the worst is like terrible analysis, and it's lazy, and but it's just like every possession I felt like, okay, you know, the Pacers are doing okay on D here, and then they would kind of force an okay shot from the Cavs, and then they would stop. And that's not the end of the defensive possession ever. The end of the defensive possession is when you get the rebound. And they were very scrambly after shots went up by the Cavs. And they gave up so many offensive rebounds to Thompson and to other guys in general. The Cavs had 12 offensive rebounds, which is just a ridiculous amount, especially considering Thompson only had 5. That 12 number really stands out to me. They were all over the offensive glass, and then they would just, you know, the Cavs were getting threes all over the place. So, like, there were times when I was like, yeah, the Pacers' D is playing okay, but they just gave up too many second-chance points, and their pick-and-roll defense was too sloppy and scrambly. And I think they can clean both of those things up, one, because Sabonis is going to be matched up on Thompson this time instead of Turner, and two, because they've already played this team once, and they'll just have a better feel. You know, I think against the Pistons we saw that once they know the team's offense a little better, they can, you know, change their schematics a little more and adjust to guys' tendencies to play them better. I mean, Detroit scored 119 in Indy and then only scored 96 at home. And they figured out that canard screen the screener play pretty well. You know, I think they'll figure out what to do with these Cavs young guards to be meaningfully better than they were in the first game. And I think also, you know, I'm excited about the cross matches differently. You know, we always talk about Turner, Sabonis, the cross matches they generate, and how it's kind of awkward with Kevin Love, because on one end, you know, they put Tristan Thompson on Sabonis and Love on Turner, and then on the other end, it's flipped, just for guys to be catered more to their own skill sets. I think in this game, now that Warren is probably going to be the four, or even McDermott, it's going to be even more interesting, because you cannot put McDermott on a center, right? Sabonis is for sure guarding Tristan Thompson. So, like, does TJ Warren guard Kevin Love, or does, you know, Justin Holiday or McDermott, whoever the hell's in there? And then who guards TJ Warren on the other end? Because Warren looked really good as the four against the Nets, you know, playing against slightly bigger guys. He was much more easily able to dribble around them and get his shots off a little better and get a little bit less defensive attention. So just interested to see how those cross matches work in the front court, because that kind of sunk the Pacers the first time. I mean, Love and Thompson had 26 boards combined. And I just apparently don't know how to add. The Pacers had 36 total. So they have got to be better on the glass. And then, yeah, the two young guards, Sexton and Garland, they didn't individually both do anything, like, so awesome. They had 30 points on 26 shots, and they only had 7 assists. But they were just getting penetration, right? That breaks down the D, that creates passing opportunities, that makes you work even, takes away some energy. They have to be better, I think, at the point of attack to just get up on those guys and not let them easily get into the paint or easily shuffle around a screen, things like that. Now, I thought Sumner would be a good guy to help mitigate those problems. Without him, you know, I think Brogdon will be asked to do a lot, and he's not great on these little quicker guards. But they didn't have Jeremy Lamb the first time. Jeremy Lamb is a big size upgrade that they've never seen. Obviously, Sumner and Lamb are about the same size. Lamb's a little stockier, though, and just a veteran size versus young size is a little different. I don't know, and Sumner's scrawnier. And then with the bench, you'll see Aaron this time, and of course TJ McConnell as well. But just a different groups to throw against these Cavalier bench lineups. And John Henson will not play apparently for the Cavs. He is now hurt, so I'm not sure how their rotation changes from that. But yeah, I really just think they got to do better with Thompson and Love, right? That was the whole game. Those two guys were just ridiculous. 26. Hey, how about math? 46 and 26. Stat lines for those two. And Kevin Love had 9 assists. He got to the free throw line whenever he wanted. He was just ridiculous in this game. And he's the best player on the court for the team in this game coming up tonight. But they just have to answer him a little better. You know, I think Sabonis has learned not to bite on the pump fakes, but now Sabonis probably won't be guarding him. So how do they handle that? But other than that, you know, they did fine on Chetty Osman. Dellavedova's not really a threat. I can live with Kevin Porter shooting 3 threes and missing all of them again. You know, they did okay on him, although he had some nice transition dunks and things like that. Jordan Clarkson actually shot well, which never happens. Nance kills the Pacers every now and again. So Larry Nance might be a problem too, especially if Goga's going to have to match up with them. That might be an interesting bench matchup to watch. But, like, nothing that happened outside of those two guys and the guards getting into the paint really strikes me as, like, the Pacers got crushed in this game. Like, it felt like they were, because that Cavs run in the second quarter was just humongous against the Pacers bench. But actually, some of it was against the starters. Anywho, I think they can clean a lot of that up. And I don't know that they'll necessarily win or not. They have their own injuries. Clearly, that front court has the number of the Pacers. But I think they can be better than the first game. And, you know, without that run, like, the Pacers win the game. If you look at the like quarter by quarter. I know this is dumb, but if you look at the quarter by quarter breakdown of that first Cavs Pacers game, the Pacers outscored the Cavs in the first quarter, and they outscored the Cavs in the third quarter, and they outscored the Cavs in the fourth quarter. Like, they played well in all the quarters that weren't the second quarter, where they just got the doors blown off of them for like 8 minutes straight, and that matters. That's why they lost. But clearly they know how to beat this team, and they executed it for extended periods of time. It just completely fell apart. And I don't anticipate that happening again, and now they know what to expect. So I think they win this game. I don't think it's easy. The Cavs are clearly better than people thought. You know, they looked good against the Pacers. They already beat the Bulls as well. People were really dumping on the Bulls for that loss, but I don't know. I think the Cavs might actually be, like, as good as the Bulls. Anywho, yeah, it's just, can they contain the front court? I think it'll be a little bit better. I think they'll, you know, they know the tendencies of Love, and Tristan Thompson won't hit a pull-up three. It's just, that's what it comes down to. Can they stop those guys? If they can't, they'll probably lose, but I think they'll do a little better, and they will walk away with the win, as we predicted before, me and Adam both predicted before the season. We both got the first three games wrong, but finally, a win over the Nets. Oh, wait, we both predicted a loss, so we are 0 for 4 each on predicting games from our preseason schedule breakdown. The Bulls and Cavs, we both have wins, so maybe we'll finally get something right. Speaking of the Bulls, we got to talk about the Bulls. Let's do it. So quick psych, before we talk Bulls, I have to tell you about the lovely people, as Adam told you about yesterday, at MyBookie. It's the best time of year. You know, it's the fall. It is also sweater weather. It was freezing in Indy today. It was snowing, and I went axe throwing with my girlfriend. We had to walk in the cold. But that also, fall means, you know, college basketball is right around the corner, and it is absolutely the best place, best sport to bet on. And MyBookie. .ag is the place to go to do that. If you like to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If you don't like that, that's okay. You can bet on individual games. With the NCAA back in action, you can turn your attention from carving pumpkins and turn it on over to watching the Spartans carve up defenses with Cassius Winston. Go to mybookie.ag if you really want to support your teams this season. Use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate this offer. MyBookie will double your first deposit. That is double your money for betting. Who doesn't like that? That's mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Mybookie.ag, code LOCKEDONNBA. Go check it out. So, the Bulls, the first time we're playing them, and I think it's been enough. I mean, it's five games. It's not really enough. We can finally do this. I haven't gotten to do this yet this season. The numbers. The Bulls are 24th in pace, 22nd in offensive rating, and 23rd in defensive rating. That is a yucky combination right there, folks. If you're a fan of a team who's playing slow, not stopping very many people, and not scoring very much, that sucks. that is a not fun team to tune into. Now, I think if you want to be scared a little of the Bulls, they're totally due for some three-point shooting progression. They are shooting a shit ton of threes. They shoot the fifth most in the league, 36.2 a game. They are making the 28th most percentage, 29.3%, abysmally low. If that progression hits all at once, which it won't necessarily, teams have hot nights, maybe it does. But even if they get to like a 40% game with how many they shoot, that's hard to overcome. The Pacers' perimeter defense is going to have to be on point this game. Just as a reference point for how many threes the Bulls are shooting, Thaddeus Young, you all saw him last year, is not this awesome shooter, is taking 4.5 a game, and he's hitting 39% of them. A lot of my Fieldhouse colleagues think Thad Young is a capable shooter. I think he's about 1-in-3 shooter who should not take very many. But the Bulls have him chucking, and he's making them, so he is proving me wrong. But last year with Indy, he obviously didn't take that much and did not make that high of a percentage. But they're just chucking, right? Satoransky's taking over 2 a game. He's not really known as a shooter. Kobe White's taking over 5 a game. Levine and Markkanen are both taking over 6 a game. It's just chuck, chuck, chuck for the Bulls. They love to bomb away, and the Pacers are going to have to be ready for that. You know, I think it's obvious with guys like Levine and Otto Porter and Lowry that, yeah, you know, Levine will pull up on probably Jeremy Lamb, and Markkanen's going to stretch the floor, and whoever's on him is going to have to chase him behind the line. Otto Porter, same deal, but he's a little easier because he's, you know, kind of stationary. He's not a movement guy. They just have to be cognizant of it. You know, the Bulls are going to try to get these shots. You have to be prepared to defend them. Coby White did really well against the Pacers in the preseason. I mean, the Bulls did terrible. They only scored like 83 points, but and I think and their starters didn't play. That's not an indicative number, but Coby White did really well. He scored over 20 points, I believe. So they're going to have to try to contain him. I'm surprised the Bulls record is what it is because I like a lot of guys in the roster. Obviously, Thad, the starters, I like Coby White, Archie Diacono, I like Luke Kornet. I like. I think the Bulls are playing right now. Their record might actually not be 1-4 for you people listening. But yeah, I like their roster more than... No, they're not. Okay. I like their roster more than the average person does. They just haven't been winning. Their threes have not been falling, and that'll kind of do it. When you're a team that takes this many from two-point range, they are 22nd in finishing rate, too. So they just have a lot of guys who are struggling to finish. I think they're kind of lacking in the setup man department. They also are hitting the offensive glass pretty well. Wendell Carter's good on the offensive glass. They're second league in offensive rebounds per game. So give the Bulls credit for that. I think a lot of the reason they're getting a lot of threes and twos up is because they're getting a lot of shots up thanks to those offensive rebounds. I'm not sure how those numbers will continue to go. They're also not turning it over very much. So good for the Bulls. Excuse me, they're not getting many steals. They're turning it over a lot. They lead the league in turnovers. Ooh, I can't read. 19.4 a game. This is where this team has struggled as they try to find an identity under Jim Boylan. They are coughing up the ball quite a bit. So that could be an area to capitalize as some of these guys try to force it. Pacers did well against the Nets at getting out and getting some more steals and running. And we saw TJ Warren get a bunch of steals against Detroit. Maybe the Pacers can capitalize on that, get some easy points, and find a way to win this game. I think they're probably better than the Bulls. You know, I don't like they shoot a lot of threes, but they don't have, outside of Levine, anyone who I'm so afraid of generating like threes on their own. A lot of guys are hitting these shots against the Pacers this year. But I think they can do a good job containing most of these guys. And outside of Coby White, like Thaddeus Young's an awesome defender, but the Bulls bench isn't super awesome either. So the Pacers bench is obviously terrible, but it's not going to be such a massive gap that it can kill you. And hopefully the starters can do well. And I think the small ball group can do well against some younger guys. You know, I don't think Markkanen or Carter or whoever the heck they put on TJ Warren, unless it's Otto Porter, he's a great defender. But I don't think any of those other guys will be able to contain him very easily. So I'm really looking forward to the cross matches in this game as well. But as Medan predicted before the season, I just don't think the Bulls have enough to take it. And I think the Pacers win. And they walk out of the week 3-3. And we all kind of can relax and pretend like they weren't 0-3. You know, if Luke Kennard doesn't have some lucky bounces this season, they're 5-1. It's fun to pretend. Yeah, it should be a fun weekend of games. I'm almost positive they'll win at least one. Like, just they just should. They looked kind of mad in there, you know, after that Pistons game. They really picked it up and looked good in that Nets game. And I don't, you know, this is wrong. They've clearly not looked as good as the teams that beat them. But nothing about their process along the way in the first three games made me go, oh, this is so bad. Like, they're not generating good looks or anything like that. They were just not, they're allowing, you know, just enough open threes that it's bad and the opponents were making them a lot. And that, you know, you deserve to be punished for allowing an open three. But I didn't think the process was so bad that it matched an 0-3 start. So I think they can recover and get to 3-3, no problem. But we'll see. I've been known to be wrong. Thank you guys for tuning in today. Sorry we couldn't get a Bulls guest, but you know the injuries to the guys made this show have to be segmented in a way that would have been hard to have a long Bulls conversation. Me and Adam will be back Monday to talk about Cavs, Bulls. The Cavs game and the Bulls game, and I'm sure we'll have, you know, Gogo will play some more. We'll talk about him. Jeremy Lamb, offensive explosion. I'm sure we'll talk about him. We'll talk about how the team looks playing small. We'll talk about the injuries. We'll cover it all. It's the weekly show. It's always a blast. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you had a great week, and we will see you next Monday.